Charles Arbuckle over in, I assume, Buck, you're back in Charlotte. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
So what are you doing these days after the AAF?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to decompress and get back into a little broadcasting. And, you know, my regular job for the last 20 years has been in the pharmaceutical industry, which I walked away from to do that AAF opportunity. So looking at some opportunities in the pharmaceutical sales arena, and I've got a SEC show, you know, radio show this Friday, I guess, during the draft. So just doing a lot of stuff to stay busy. I think in the next month or so, I'll have a little bit better handle on what I'll be doing, you know, and talking to you every week. That's a task in itself, right?
There you go. I hear you on that one. Now, if you had the first pick, if Charles Arbuckle is the GM, and it's your job to ultimately say, here is our guy, I am the vote, do you go Haskins or do you go Kyler Murray if it's quarterback?
You know, I think I can see why Arizona is going Kyler Murray because of Cliff Kingsbury and the system that he's run and kind of the system that he'll try to merge in the league. We see more of a zone read RPO world starting to infiltrate the NFL. You'll never see it completely like college. So I would say in that instance, Kyler Murray is a pick for them. But for me, I like Dwayne Haskins as a pure pocket passer and a guy that can move. You know, he can move just enough. He showed me in 1 year that he's got some pretty good accuracy, can throw through different passing windows, and he seems to have a really good understanding of the passing game. So, you know, if I were a GM and I'm looking at it, I'd say Dwayne Haskins. But I think also you got to look at the other guy at Ohio State, Nick Bosa, who, you know, some people think is even better than Kyler Murray and should go higher. I'll tell you one guy I really like, and I know his draft stock has dropped a little bit, Ed Oliver. I mean, I had just, from day one, I thought Ed Oliver would be the guy that we look at inside that will change things and kind of be like Aaron Donald because of his first step ability and some of the other things. So, you know, as I look at this draft and if I was sitting in that room and, you know, depending on where you're picking, there's some good talent at the top of the draft, and you think you have a chance at having some guys that can make a difference down the road. Quinnen Williams is another name that pops to mind of his ability to take up blockers on the inside. But if you're looking at pure quarterbacks, I like Dwayne Haskins. I think he, you know, and I love Kyler Murray in the 1 year that he's been able to play and what he's been able to do over the course of that time. But Dwayne Haskins, just something special about his ability to spin the rock to me.
No, I'm a big fan of Ed Oliver, too. I keep remembering that Major Applewhite, Ed Oliver confrontation. What was that, over a jacket? What was that about? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that was over a jacket. And for me, Ed was wrong for his outburst, but I think Major was wrong for doing it on the field. You didn't
right.
do that to a player right there on the field. I mean, you can always do – I've seen coaches get on guys, and you didn't even know they were getting on them. But for him to just go pull the jacket right there, I thought that was Bush League and probably one of the reasons why Major Applewhite's no longer coaching there.
I agree. It was almost like Applewhite was trying to – it was almost a show of power, a show of force for him there. A lead, here I'm the leader. Watch this. I'm going to show this guy in front of everybody. Very, very
yeah.
inappropriate.
You know, another guy that's not – I'm kind of shocked he's not getting as much publicity, but I think he'll have a really nice pro career, is Christian Wilkins. I don't think you take him with the first player pick.
Right.
But I think Christian Wilkins is another, you know, he and Dexter Lawrence created a nice little 1-2 tandem, and I think Christian Wilkins is going to play really well at the next level. There's some, you know, Bill, this is a good thing for this year's draft. You got some D linemen. If you want to talk about building your team from the inside out, we can talk about quarterback, running back, tight end. You know, I really think Noah Fant's guy, Caden Smith, out of Stanford, who, you know, he didn't play as well this year, but really good guy. But I think Christian Wilkins is one of those guys that I've gotten to see over the last 3 or 4 years that I've been really impressed with and think he has a chance to really be special at the next level.
Maybe I just saw so much of this guy, and you've already brought him up, but if I had to take one guy, and I wasn't position specific, I'm just taking the best guy, I'm probably, if it's me, taking Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
You know,
he's pretty special. He is pretty special. And I think what makes him special is you don't normally see a 6'3", 303-pound guy. Every year we say this about Alabama's defensive front, right? Well, there's no way Jonathan Allen or, you know, you just keep going back in time.
Right.
Terrence Coady notwithstanding. And Coady was good for what they wanted him to be. But Quinnen Williams looked like he just said, okay, I've watched all these guys play. Now I'm going to show you how I do it. I'm going to put my spin on it. And the way he was in the backfield all the time, and they were double-teaming him and sometimes triple-teaming him, and then sometimes just really pestering him with as many people as they could, and he still would not be stopped, gives you a good reason as to why some people think, you know, he could go in that top two or three player pick, and if the right team was there, would pick him at number one.
Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday in this slot talking football. Do you watch much of any of the spring games?
You know what I did? I went through and just kind of quick glance at a few of them. I've got them on tape because I want to go back and watch a couple of players individually. So that's kind of what I'm doing this week is just going back trying to see. The thing with spring games, Bill, that are so hard now is that our spring practice like Michigan had, it's just so hard to get a good sense. I almost would rather watch spring practice because I know if they're going third tempo and it's not under the lights, guy, you still get a chance to see guys and see them work without the lights on and get a sense of how they work every single day. Spring ball is so much harder now because we're trying to protect guys that we've gotten away from really playing a game in a sense, and it's become more of a practice or more of a, you know, crazy scoring system that you don't know other than for that one day, or you bring, you know, the thing I do like is when they have young kids or you know, kids that have overcome, you know, cancer or anything, getting to run touchdowns. I think that's always nice,
right.
And I love that. But
right.
Just from the standpoint of the game itself, it's hard to judge other than when you're watching individual people and kind of trying to get a sense of who's doing well and what situations.
I'm watching Notre Dame. It's like 45-45 at half, and the defense is getting points based on rushing and you know,
yeah.
Pressures and stuff. I'm wondering, where are these points coming from?
I know. Well, sometimes you look at the board, and it's like 100-98, and you're like, where did all those scores, where did they come from? You know, I think if you look around the nation, though, I'm interested in this Big Ten quarterback battle kind of situation because you got a lot of schools. Ohio State, it looks like Dwayne Haskins left. Justin Fields is there now, and I guess Matthew Baldwin, the redshirt freshman, is going to transfer out. At Penn State, you got to replace Trace McSorley. Maryland, I think they're going to have a really crowded quarterback room with three guys coming back. Including Pigram, and then also Josh Jackson coming in as a transfer. So Mike Locksley has some quarterbacks he can deal with, and then Northwestern replacing a 4-year starter in Clayton Thorson. It seems like Hunter Johnson will be the guy there because you got a 5th-year senior, T.J. Green. But those are the kind of things I'm kind of looking to see how they play out, because if they haven't completely named the guy or a guy hasn't entered his name into the transfer portal, those are the things we'll be looking at heading in the fall, and it'll be interesting to see how those teams, especially in the Big Ten, with a major influx of new talent now and new coaches, how that's going to play out for that league.
Buck, always a pleasure, my friend. See you next week.
All right, Bill. Good talking to you. Always, always good. And hey, somebody told me you were going to try to restart the AAF. If you are, let me be the commissioner of that league, and we'll make it right. Okay.
You're the only guy I know in that league very well, so you got it.
hey, you got to ask. If you don't ask for something, you won't get it.
That's right. That's right. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Take care.